Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another episode of The Miracle Man Show here on Monday, November the 18th of 2019. Can you believe this, folks? We're just over 40 days away from the last day of the year. Just over 40 days away from it. Where did 2019 go? Well, I know exactly where it went. Most of it got spent. Well, we're so glad to have you wherever you may be listening from, whether it be here in Michigan or around America or around the world even, because this is broadcast on the World Wide Web. On the website, and we're so glad that you made the choice tonight to tune into this program, wherever you are tonight. And it really means a lot to me every time that you tune in. And not just because you tuned in. It means a lot because it means that you've come to learn something from the Lord. That's what it truthfully and honestly means. The fact that you tuned into this program tonight. Or maybe you've tuned in to hear about some sports stuff, which we will be doing in a little while. But we're so glad that you made the choice to tune in wherever you are. Now, for those of you here in Michigan who went deer hunting this weekend, hopefully you got a deer. And that you actually hunted it, shot it. And that you didn't run it over with your car. Because those deer are really active at this time of the year. So you really have to pay attention when you're driving, especially at dawn and at dusk. You need to make sure you're paying attention because deer are hiding. Especially around dawn or dusk, they're hiding so that they won't get shot by a hunter. And maybe one of you listeners, if you got a deer, maybe you'll send me some noodles with venison in it. You know, something like that. Because that sounds really yummy. You know, the first time that I know of where people went hunting was in the book of Genesis. In the Bible. At that point, I had heard nothing about, at that point, there hadn't been any fishing that I know of. maybe they were fishing at that point. But yeah, it talks about how Jacob and Esau went out hunting. And when it said, sit up and eat some of my game so you may give me your blessing, that means like the meat from when Jacob and Esau had went hunting. And I don't know what they found. It doesn't exactly say whether they got venison from deer or what they got. But in those days, that's how they got had to get their meat, because they had to go hunting. They couldn't just make it on a stove. So in other words, hunting is by no means anything new. If you're out there hunting, I hope you're having a fun time. And
I like it.
You get as many deer as you can, because here, the more deer that get hunted, the less deer there are to run into the middle of the road and get hit by a car. So hopefully, Caitlin, I hope all the deer all got caught.
Hopefully.
But there's several more deer. There's 12 more days. And so hopefully as many of them as possible have been caught. Because in this state, you know, deer hunting is quite the tradition. And the economic impact from deer hunting is very high to the state of Michigan. And every year, now, how is deer hunting registration different from how it used to be? Not as many hunt now as what used to, but every year new people are being introduced to the sport, whether it be women or younger kids. And it's really become a tradition in Michigan. No, I don't hunt, but I will admit that I do realize the impact that it had, that the hunting and related industries have. By hunting, I mean like hunting related, and those who go out to their blind. By the way, what do these people do in their deer blind anyways, Caitlin? What do they do out there?
What do they do with their what?
In their blind. You know, these people who... I thought you said you hunted once.
No, I said I wouldn't mind going.
But you've never hunted?
Nope.
Oh, thought you did. No. But you've heard of these blinds, like these shanties and what have you, where people hunt from, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, where they hide in the trees or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what do you do all day when you're just sitting there in that tree?
Good question.
What you doing out there? You on your phone or are you just sitting there looking at all the pretty deer, praying to God that one of them will come to you? But anyhow, I hope everybody had a good time this weekend, those of you who decided that you were going to take part in deer hunting for the first weekend of deer season, firearm season, that is, that runs up to November 30th. All right. Also, the next few days of this week, all 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm going to give you a verse about giving thanks. And today's verse is in the book of Psalms, and it said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." That's a verse, too. That's not just a song that we used to sing back in the 2000s in churches across America. By the way, it was a pretty powerful song. I loved it. And so you know, with Thanksgiving coming up, we need to realize this. We have a lot to be thankful for. You know, like in America, we live in the freest country on earth. Praise God. Like, it's the freest country on the face of the earth, the United States is. We give out more humanitarian aid than anyone else does. Praise God. Now, in a week and a half, when you go and sit down at the table to have your Thanksgiving feast, to eat the turkey, mashed potatoes, and your stuffing, and all the your green bean casserole, and your cranberries. By the way, I don't understand what green bean casserole is even doing on the Thanksgiving menu in America. I don't know, Caitlin. Maybe you can tell me why. Because I really don't like green bean casserole. Tried it once, same on Thanksgiving in '98. Haven't been able to stomach it since. What is it still doing on the Thanksgiving menu in America, Caitlin? I don't know what it's doing because personally I don't like it. You can eat it if you want. But I don't like the, I do not like the taste. I was talking to my helpers just earlier today. We were talking. She doesn't understand what the cranberries or the green bean casserole is doing on the Thanksgiving menu in America. But for many people, it's on it. And there's a couple things now in my family. My mom's side of my family, we're going to be having Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving family Thanksgiving feast on Saturday.
Yeah.
Because you may be thinking, well, Thanksgiving's not until next week. Why are you talking about it right now? Well, there was just a thought that came to my mind about the food. All right. And I like the turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy, the hot buttered rolls, the there are a couple of special things that are not always at Thanksgiving. But I don't know if I'm gonna reveal it.
I'm getting a big tooth.
Or not. Well, okay, fine. I am going to reveal it. Ribs.
Oh, I forgot that. I need spaghetti.
And, with barbecue sauce on them. And mac and cheese. Yes, there's been some ham at our Thanksgiving before, too. But not in place of the turkey. I've heard of people who have decided to go to McDonald's for Thanksgiving instead of having their regular food. And Caitlin, why would they do that?
I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that. I want to be with my family.
Right.
Maybe because I
don't have family. Even then, go to the Crackle Barrel and have some turkey and mashed potatoes and all that. Just pray to God that they don't give you green bean casserole.
Why? I love green bean casserole.
Well, I was telling you that I was listening a few minutes ago, that basically green bean casserole is the most disliked Thanksgiving food in America.
I know, I've seen that
all day.
I disagree. I love it.
Yeah, I haven't been able to stomach it since 98, and that was the one time I tried it.
Well, I'll make you some. I'm telling you, ours is really good. I know everyone probably says that.
Is it at least nice and salty and sweet?
No, I don't like it sweet. I don't know. It's really good.
What all's in it? Green beans.
Green beans and the. I can't remember what they're called. Little crusty things on top, but I use cream cheese and. Can of onion soup, I think, or because
I don't like onions.
You can't taste them at all. I promise. Yeah. I don't like raw onions either.
Is it at least salty?
Yeah. You make it salty. Thank you.
What'd you get?
Fries. You want some?
Yes, please. Because these fries from McDonald's are always from him. Always. But, like I was saying, I'm just going to have a couple of these. But, like I was saying, listeners, they are some of the best ones. What I mean is, what I like to do is to put my turkey and mashed potatoes over top of each other, because that's how it came at my elementary school when I was little, with the gravy on it. Sometimes it was like that on right before Thanksgiving, like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, as well as a couple of the other times throughout the year when we would have it. Because we would generally have it once every couple of months that we would have. Once every couple of months we would have turkey and gravy over the mashed potatoes. And it's good stuff. So that being said, I'm looking forward to it. And I really hope Uncle Jerry brings those ribs.
A lot of options. You get a lot of
I know. I'm missing the Santa Parade, one of the parades, something I look forward to every year. But at the same time, I want food. But most importantly, you know, to see my Uncle Jerry and see my grandpa and to see. Yeah. But it's going to be. But in the midst of all that eating and all that other stuff. It was declared when Thanksgiving was declared a holiday. And that Thanksgiving was to be a day of giving thanks to God for the harvest and everything that God has given us. Oh, so you're going to give thanks to the turkey? You're going to give thanks to the guy who invented the green bean casserole? I don't know that I'll be doing that. I'd like to go after the guy who invented the green bean casserole myself because I don't like it. But hopefully, maybe someone will find a way to take away all the onions out of the green bean casserole, how to really butter up the beans the way they're supposed to be. Maybe you put some fried chicken in them. Some stuff like that to make it more palatable. Okay, enough of that. Now, I want to encourage you guys to please tell other people that you know. Please tell other people that you know about this great radio program and how they can be a part of it. And the best way to be a part of the show is to call in, whether you want to call in and talk to me or you want to call in and just listen. You want to call in and talk to me. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that number is area code 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You will be taken through a call screener, and my assistant will then let me know that we have a caller. And then after that, I will... I'll say okay, and then we'll let you come on and talk about generally whatever you want to talk about. Whether you want to talk, ask me a question about God, or whether you want to talk about something you're thankful for, talk about something, you know, whether you want to talk about sports, maybe you want to talk about what happened in the Michigan State game or the Lions game or other NFL games, Michigan High School. My brother was 81. Who you got? All right. Yeah. You can feel free to call in and talk to me about whatever, as long as it's not political. Praise God. Now, my hope is that we'll get some really good callers tonight. To be honest with you, that's always my hope. It really is. Now, I want to ask for your prayers on something. What it is that one, somebody that has been a grandma figure to me for a long time, in the natural, she is not doing well at all. She's having problems with kidney function, with liver function. She's been put in the hospital. She's fighting for her life. But you want to know something? She's fighting the good fight of faith. And I want you to believe God with me that she gets the healing, that she gets receives her healing from the Lord, that healing is made manifest. And so, Bonnie, if you're listening right now, I call your body healed in the name of Jesus. Sickness cannot have this lady. This lady is a wonderful child of the Most High God. And I just pray, Lord, that she will have a quick and speedy recovery. In your name, Jesus. In your name. That's what I'm believing for, Jesus. Amen. Okay. Now. I'm going to Jeremiah 31, but first we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these listeners tonight who have made the choice to tune into this program to learn something about you tonight. I just pray that your hand is on, thank you that your hand is on our life and that you, Lord God, would be glorified in the lives of these listeners tonight as we study your word for a little while and learn some things about you, learn some things about your plans for us. And and all the great things that you have in store and all this, everything that you want to restore for us. And I just thank you, Lord God, that the word will ring free course in our lives. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I make my confession over the show tonight. I thank you that in your name, Jesus, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership coming to this program, that increases in that most importantly, increases in souls coming to this program, souls giving their lives to you, Jesus. And most importantly, God, I pray, I mean, in addition, Lord God, I thank you for increases in listenership coming. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen and amen. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 33. Praise God, Jeremiah 33. I'm going to read on through the whole chapter, and then I'm going to stop and we're going to talk about this. While Jeremiah was still confined in the courtyard with the guard, the word of the Lord came to him a second time. This is what the Lord says. He who made the earth, the Lord who formed it and established it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the houses in this city, in the royal palaces of Judea, that have been torn down to be used against the sage ramps and the sword in the hearts of Babylonians. They will be filled with the dead bodies of the men I will slay in my anger. Well, and I will rid my face from the city because of all of its wickedness. Nevertheless, I will bring health and I will bring healing to it. I will heal my people and I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Verse 6 again. I want to make sure you get this. Nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to you. I will heal my people, and I will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. Praise God. Underline verse 6 in your Bible, please. Verse 7. And I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity, and I will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me, and I will forgive all of their sins of rebellion against me. Then the city will bring me renown, joy, praise, and honor before all nations on earth that hear of all of the good things that I do for it. And they will be in awe, and they will triumph at the abundant prosperity and peace that I provide for it. This is what the Lord says. You say about this place, it's a desolate waste without men or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither men nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. And I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In this place, desolate and without men or animals, in all of its towns, there will again be pastures and shepherds to rest their flocks. In the towns of the hill country, in the western foothills of the Negev, in the territory of Benjamin, in the villages around Jerusalem, and in the towns of Judah, flocks will again pass under the hand of the one who counts them, says the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise that I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In these days, and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is righteous. For this is what the Lord says: David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor will the priests, who are Levites, ever fail to have a man to stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifice. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says: if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant of the night, so that day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites, who are priests ministering before me, can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. And I will make the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites, our minister before me, as countless as the stars of the sky, and as measureless as the sand on the seashore. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah: have you not noticed that these people are saying, the Lord has rejected the two kingdoms that he chose, so they desire my people and no longer regard them as a nation? This is what the Lord says: if I have not established my covenant with day and night and the fixed laws of heaven and earth, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob and David, my servant, and I will not choose one of his sons to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will restore their fortunes, and I will have compassion on them. Now, in another chapter, it talks about how God says, "For I have plans for you to prosper you, to give you a future." To give you a future, to want to see you prosper. But the chapter that I read to you tonight, chapter 33, that was talking about, it was discussing how God wants to restore. I can guarantee you a lot of you can use some restoration. And we had a great couple minister yesterday from the Word of God. The husband spoke, preacher spoke during the morning, and the wife preached at night. And Gene, he talked about getting out of debt. But June, she talked about coming out of, she talked about having intentional faith. And she also talked about how life honors is not perfect, but how God makes the impossible possible. And June told a story last night. 3 years ago, she's walking down her driveway at her house down in the south, down there in South Georgia. I think Statesboro is in South Georgia. But she falls, breaks a bone. Forget whether it was her leg or what it was. And going to the hospital, having a surgery. After a surgery, she wakes up and she asks her husband, "Gene, what happened to me?" And he said, "Life happens. Life happened." And she goes to rehab, and God, she goes to rehab, and people are asking her, "Why do you have makeup not, or whatever else, and that kind of stuff, you know, are you trying?" And they ask some questions, and then she's like, "I'm trying to get back to normal." Then they decided to take her off the chart because of how good she was doing. Needless to say, now she's recovered. She's decided to take that whole thing by faith. She lived by faith. Intentional faith. And she was, they were being pretty funny. yesterday, but there were some good things that we learned. Now, Gene Evans told a story yesterday morning about how back when they started, they used to pastor a church. When they pioneered their church in 1980, down there in, I believe it's South Georgia. Is Statesboro, Georgia? Is that in South Georgia? I think it's almost to Florida, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's quite a way south of Atlanta. I've never been down that far south, but in the story, that region of Georgia had suffered through a long drought. For a few years, they struggled with lack of rainfall. Got to where this man that Gene knew was so far in debt, so far in the hole, because they weren't getting the rain, so it was harder to get the crops. Then started raining and that, and then he told this man, you need to take it by faith, and you need to take it a week at a time. And then every week, he kept hearing about something that happened. Did you make it? Yep. Next week, another miracle happened. Did you make it? Yep. Next week, yep. 15 years later, they only had a few more $1,000 left to pay. And that was it. And that goes to show you the faithfulness of God. And yes, they were kind of charming us with their southern accents. They were really thick southern accents, and you're gonna think this is funny, Caitlin. What I had started to say a couple of years ago, that if ever I hear a person say they want to get rid of their southern accent, you know what I'm gonna tell them? Your southern accent is a gift. Yeah, it is. It's charming. There are studies that have come out that have claimed. By the way, I found this on some news channel in the Chattanooga area. There, I don't know where the study was from, but it was reported in the Chattanooga, from a station in the Chattanooga area, and it was reported that people from around America find the southern accent as the most charming. I don't know if it was based on worldwide or just based on domestic accents. From some of these other countries, sometimes you can't understand them, and they don't ever, and these Asian accents, none of them are ever quite as charming as the southern accent, are they? They're not, are they? Have you been down to South Indiana a bit, like down towards Louisville a bit?
No, not often. I don't think so.
I thought you knew some people down in South Indy.
No, I knew a lady that lived down there, my friend's mom or aunt, but I only went down there like once or a couple times.
Was that where that real expensive house was?
Yeah.
That was down in South Indy?
Yep.
Did the Did these people have, like, that kind of thicker southern accent?
Yeah, a little.
Did the neighborhood around it have it kind of a bit, too? Did it?
It wasn't, like, super strong.
Evansville, I imagine, they do more so, don't they?
I've been to Evansville, actually. Evansville, I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
You think it's more like southeast than what it is southwest?
Yeah.
Because Evansville is about as far south as Indiana goes.
Yeah.
Do you think they had it more, a little bit more to the east and north a bit, like by where you went, than what Evansville had?
Yeah, I think New Albany had it more than Evansville.
Because, Evansville is more equal, like, with certain parts of Missouri, and Missouri doesn't exactly have it that much.
No.
But you find, like, that Kentucky does, and, like, Louisville, and then, like, eastern Kentucky, southeast Kentucky does. In fact, anyhow, that to say, listeners, what I got, listeners, out of that whole thing yesterday is that you have to live by faith. You do. You have to make up your mind. I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm not going to live by what I feel. Deep down, Lord, I know that you're here with me. And deep down, I can do anything. They told a couple of funny stories, too. I might share one of them at some point. I might not, but they were pretty funny. They've only known Dr. Barclay for like a year and a half. But at the same time, and this was only the second time they've been here. But I loved their personality. I loved the way they talk about themselves and their family. And they're just down to earth. And they're real people, you know. They shared their real stories with a bit of a southern flavor, southern accent. Because any of you who know me know, listeners, that I love the South, period. It doesn't matter whether it's in the country or in the city. And I really don't like this cold weather that we had to deal with lately, and I'm glad that it finally let up some. Because this summer, I found that after I had been down to Alabama, that not only did my tolerance for heat really go up, but my desire for heat really went up too. Because I found that some of like the 80-degree days was almost not hot enough. And if it gets to where you almost desire the feel of that warmer heat, is that when it gets to that point, is that a sign that like you keep liking it more and more and more, if you know what I mean? That south? that's kind of a sign, don't you think? Because some people I know, I've heard of people who live down there, and they will complain about the heat a lot. But did you say really or right? Because you're not, you weren't too many hours from it.
From where?
From these places, from some of these places where 90 degrees is a regularity on a summer day.
Yeah.
Like only like 4 hours or so to your south.
Mm-hmm.
Like southern Kentucky outside of the mountains. I think there's some places in Kentucky where 90 degrees is common almost every day of the summer.
All
right. You thought it was high 80.
Yeah.
Because for you guys, it's like 85.
Yeah.
But then when you start going more south, it keeps going up. But needless to say, those people, though, you know, they... You know, I learned so much from them. And just having this idea that we just got to trust in God. You know, that he's going to do what he said in his word. And they're an older couple. In fact, she just turned 80 several months ago. But they're still going. Preaching the word of God, praise God, and that's so cool that both of them can flow the way they do, and one of them will preach one service, one will do the other. It's just amazing. And Jean's walked with God for over 60 years. Of her life. Over 60 years. Now, Dr. Buckley, he's been in the ministry since like 72, or 73, 74, for like 47 years or so. He's been a Christian for like 48 years. Just because she's been right with God for over 10 more years, just because she's been saved for more than 10 more years doesn't mean she's wiser. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to compare one to another, but if one... You've been right with God for 40 years or 48 years, and someone else has been right with God for 65 years. That doesn't mean that you're smarter necessarily. It just means you've been a Christian for long. But what I want you to get from this is just that it's really important that we just live by faith. We have to live our life by faith. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight, that we would get it in our minds, that we would not just get it in our minds, but that we would live it, Lord God. We would live what this word of God says, that we would be doers of your word, Lord, and not just hearers only. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Red Wings, they were doing such a good job at winning, but then they had a loss, an overtime loss, albeit, but still. At least they're not exactly only scoring one goal a game and giving up at least 3 goals every game like they had been. So they've still improved. They had traded for a better player and got this, you know, good player. So that helped. I think that has helped them a bit. And so we'll have to see what the rest of the season holds for them. Spartans, they got another win. They took down 12th-ranked Seton Hall. And this is after Cassius Winston had just lost his brother. They still got a win. And they said that really felt great for them to get that win. Really did. All right. Now, NFL. As you know, there was a big brawl Thursday night between at pretty much the end of the Browns versus Steelers game. One player has been suspended through at least the end of this season. Another has gotten suspended for a couple games, and another one for a couple games. And there was just some crazy stuff that happened. In baseball news, Justin Verlander is your American League Cy Young Award winner. So I have to say to Justin Verlander, congratulations, Justin. Celebrate. You earned that award. He really did earn that award. He was just a great pitcher this year. The other time he got a Cy Young was when he was in Detroit. And it's great that even though he's in Houston now, he's still doing great things. He hasn't let geography change the outcome. All right. Now, in terms of football and discussion, well, Mona Shore's season continues as they took down Portage Northern 28-23 in their regional final at Portage Northern High School on Friday evening. Mona Shores will now advance to take on Walled Lake Western in Okemos. Mind you, projections were saying that that is who Mona Shores would have played last year. But Midland took down Mona Shore, Walled Lake Western. So I have to wonder in my mind why the MHSAA set those regions the way they set them. Why did they put Flushing all the way in District 2 and Fenton all the way in District 2? Why did you put Jackson in Region in District 1 of Region 2 in Battle Creek along with two other Detroit teams? I'm curious why they did that. But being how well we played Mona Shores, we would have found a way to beat them. We would be playing getting ready to play Walled Lake Western. Possibly at Howell or something. But we are not, because we lost to them a few weeks ago to the Sailors. And if the Sailors keep winning, that's good for us, because that means basically you only lost once to one of the best of the best. Now, games I picked. Cass Tech versus Eisenhower. No. Excuse me. Cass Tech versus Sterling Heights Stevenson at Sterling Heights. Being how Cass Tech had done good in both of their first two playoff games, I thought for sure Cass was going to take care of business again. They didn't. Instead, the winner turned out to be Stevenson, Sterling Heights Stevenson. They get to take on Davison next at Troy Athens High School, which, as the name would suggest, they are in Troy. And just so you kind of know, here are your, at least your Division I and II district semifinals. I mean, state semifinals. Semifinal one, you have Brighton versus Belleville. B versus B at Howell. Semifinal two of Division One, you have Region Three winner Davison versus Region Four winner that Region Four winner was Sterling Heights Stevenson. The winner of semifinal one versus will play the winner of semifinal two at Ford Field. Only one of these. I'm going to do some research when I get home to confirm this. But let me think here. Region 1 winner Brighton has never made it to the state finals, only the semis. Region 2 winner Belleville has not made it to the state finals. Region 3 winner Davison has only made it to the semifinals. Region 4 winner Sterling Heights Stevenson, they might have got a title, but they might have lost too. They might have lost. In the final game. So only one of them has won a state title. Let's look at Division II. Division II, Region I. I mean, Division II, Semifinal One. You have Mona Shores taking on Walled Lake Western at Okemos High School. Both of these have been in the state finals recently, but both of them have lost in their games. For your Division III, for your Region III versus Region IV, your semifinal two, you have Region 3 winner, Detroit Martin Luther King, versus Region 4 winner, Birmingham Seaholm. I don't think Seaholm has ever won. I don't think Seaholm has ever made a state final. Detroit King won a state title all the way back in 2018, but they were a Division III school. They are back in region in Division II. Now, they had a few more students. They were right on that bubble last year. So that's why last year King was in 3. And this year King is in 2. And King will be, if they beat Seaholm, which I think they will, they'll basically be in walking distance of Ford Field. So it'll be another King versus a Muskegon school, albeit Mona Shores and not Muskegon. By the way, Muskegon is still rolling in Division III. They have not lost a game yet this year. And if the MHSAA allowed for teams to play national schedules, I imagine Muskegon would absolutely be doing that because, for the most part, they just throttle everyone they play. They haven't had very many close games at all this year. They really haven't. They're winning. And I can remember 2 years in a row, Midland played Muskegon in 2012 and 2013. Midland had all kinds of problems playing them. Have you seen it at some of these games where there have been issues? Not issues for you guys, but issues for other schools with size mismatches and things of that nature. Have you seen that too? Like where you guys are a lot bigger than those players from that other school? Have you seen that before, Caitlin?
Like what?
Like where some of these players at some of these other schools and the teams that you guys are playing, where some of these other teams have a lot smaller players.
Oh yeah.
Like some of these Division I schools there, or Division VI, however they do it. Some of them have like these a lot smaller football players where you guys have the big ones.
Yeah.
Needless to say, that's what happens to Midland when they've played Muskegon before, is that in 2012 and 2013, they gave Midland all kinds of problems.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. In 2013, they did a little bit better, but in 2012, all kinds of problems at home in a regional at home, and they lost it 49-21. By the way, Midland's worst record against a team that they've played 5 times or more is against Muskegon High, where they have played them 11 times and only beat them twice.
Midland's only beat them twice?
Yes.
Wow.
2 out of 11. They're ranked 16th in America right now, the Big Reds of Muskegon are.
Wow.
And back when we played them twice in a year, when we played them twice in as many years, I caught them. My nickname for them would have been the Muskegon Mosquitoes if we had to keep playing them. But thankfully, they have lost some student population, so hopefully we won't have to play them again in the playoffs anytime soon, because I'm not ready for that mess again. And quite honestly, the Mona Shores mess, I wish that hadn't happened either, because I wanted at least one more home game to make up for all those rainouts. Because that really wasn't fun. But anyhow, college. We have Michigan destroyed Michigan State 44-10. Now, at first, Michigan State hung around with Michigan. And at one point, they had a 7-0 lead. And me being the Michigan guy, I was listening to the game, and I'm like, oh no, what are you doing, guys? Come on, Blue, what's going on? finally they get to work and get back to doing what they've been doing most of the year. And I loved how well Shea was doing at passing the ball. It just seemed great to get Michigan State the way we got them. It just felt great. But we can't take our eyes off because now we've got to play Indiana, and Indiana is tough this year. It's the best they've been in many, many years. So you can't take your foot off the gas pedal. Keep pushing. Keep fighting. Patterson's got to keep throwing. He's got to be running the football if he can help him. Help it. And the running back's got to keep running. And our defender's got to keep defending. Got to keep hearing sack time from the radio announcer. By the way, I love how Jim Brandstetter says, sack time. I love that. You've never heard one of the broadcasters say sack time, have you?
Me?
You've never heard a broadcaster say sack time, have you?
I haven't.
Nope. I think that's part of why he does it, because it's unique. And to be honest with you, I love that. I really want to hear that a lot when we play that team to the south. There is a team that Michigan plays, and when we play this team, which we do every year at the end of the regular season, it is like the biggest rivalry in college football in America.
What team is that?
Ohio State. I tried to not reveal it because even though I may like that team to the south, other listeners may not. And though I love them a lot, at the same time, I want to see Michigan beat the team to the south some. Michigan is 0-7 against the Scarlet and Gray. Since 2011, Michigan is 0-7. Seven-game losing streak is the longest losing streak we've had against the Bucks. If we fall to the Bucks again this year, that'll be 8, an all-time record. So there's a lot at stake. That, by the way, the team of the South did still beat Rutgers 54-13. They've beaten everyone by 24 plus points. Now, well, I'm going to do this either way, but hopefully Penn State can expose them a bit. If Penn State can expose some things about them, find some ways to get through them and play them close, if not even beat them, hopefully I'll be able to come back on Monday and Wednesday of next week and talk about what can Michigan do to beat the Bucks. Because I'm ready for a Michigan victory. Can I guarantee a Michigan victory? Of course not. Well, what about predicting one? Well, when I make those predictions, they're not biased. I need to see how they perform. I need to see Michigan do good against Indiana. And then I need to see Michigan beat Indiana, and then I need to see what happens in the games with Penn State versus the Bucks. So, Michigan, so I picked Michigan. Michigan won. By the way, the other high school game I picked Meridian to lose. Sadly, they lost to Montague over on the west side of the state. All right, Proton. Lions. Another day, another loss. This time to the Cowboys. Yep. 35-27. 34-26. Yep. Oh. And actually, they're the lie downs because they've lost so many games recently. Yep, the lie downs. 6 of the last 7. They're 3-6-1. If they want to make the playoffs, they've got to start winning now. I think they can beat the Redskins on Sunday, but then after that, you got to play the Bears. They're still going to have to play the Vikes in Minnesota, but they'll get to host the Packers at home. But Minnesota's not an easy place to play. And then they'll have to play their other games also. Stafford, it looks like he will quite honestly be out 6 weeks, so basically to the end of the season, unless the Lions can find a way to miraculously win all of the rest of their games. I hope they can. I need to see their defense get better. I have to. I'm still watching. Their offense is still finding ways to make games interesting. But I need to see them finish these games. Because if we're going to spend all this money on all these players, we need to see results. And I wish there was a way to banish that injury bug once and for all. But I don't know how. Atlanta, they're looking like they could kind of be a threat now. They took down the Panthers yesterday. After they took down the Saints. The Saints went back to their winning ways. Their winning ways is they took down the Bucs. The Buccaneers. The Texans get totally crushed by the Ravens, 42-7. Wow. And then last night, you had the Rams take on the Bears, 17-7. Yesterday, you had the Patriots take down the Eagles 17-10. At one point, though, the Patriots were down 10-0. So it basically became a tale of two different ball games. One part Eagles, but then after that, Patriots got right back to work. And I was listening to this on the way to church. But when I got to church, the Patriots had just scored their first field goal and would go on to score 2 more touchdowns. Brady, sometimes you can kind of tell that he's starting to get a bit older, like when he's throwing that football. Sometimes he's not finding the receivers the way he had been. But they got another win. And by the way, the 49ers, they almost lost to the Cards. But then they found a way to win in the final seconds. So, at least for the most part, the fountain of upsets coming from the sky, or it was coming from somewhere, at least it kind of slowed down. because there have been all these surprises all over the place. But then not so much this week. Tonight, for your NFL Monday night, you have Kansas City taking on the Chargers in Mexico City. Chargers aren't doing so well. Kansas City is 6-4, is looking to get another win on the season. My prediction, hail to the Chiefs, 28. Charging money, 23. Once again, it is Chiefs over the Chargers, 28-23. That is my prediction for the Monday Night Football. By the way, for my predictions, we were 4 of 5, 80%. If we get tonight right for the whole weekend, we will be at over 80%. And remember I said, when you're predicting stuff, over 80% is an automatic A. Remember I said that? That over 80% correct is an automatic A when it comes to predicting? Remember I said that? So, we'll see how tonight goes. By the way, you'll be able to listen, watch the game on the Yahoo.com sports app. All right, folks. Until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.